Thanks for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. Our hope is that it helps you discover completeness in Jesus. Now for this week's teaching.
Okay, well, if you are new, welcome to our class. Thanks for joining us. We are actually stronger in attendance tonight than I thought. I thought it was going to be a really low night, but I'm really excited and encouraged to see everybody here tonight. And looking forward to jumping in to our panel discussion when it comes to making a Jesus impact to those experiencing financial difficulty for whatever reasons. And looking forward to having Allison Stump here with us and also Keely and Steve Johnson. To answer some questions and to help us engage with this topic. I want to do a time of review after I pray. So if you don't have the sheet in front of you, it's back there by one of the more handsome people that I know, Daniel Finch, and he's the keeper of those. Daniel probably loves that joke, don't you? He loves being pointed out. I'm just going to keep talking about him. So Daniel made the cookies. No, he did not, but he is a heart, you know, sweetheart. Anyways, if you don't have them, they're back by Daniel. So I'm assuming everybody does. So let's just go ahead and jump into this. I'll say a prayer, ask the Lord to forgive my silliness, and we'll move on. Father, thank you for this evening. I'm grateful for the people in this room and for those who've been a part of this class for the semester. Ask the Lord that tonight is Allison and Keely and Steve. Help us to think through the way in which we might make a Jesus impact to those experiencing poverty or financial difficulties or hard situations in their life, or maybe it's an ongoing struggle for them. Would we be a church that is able to see everybody with equal eyes and fair eyes and kind eyes, and that we would be a church that recognizes that Christ is in all and is all, and that we are all united and our true riches are in heaven. Father, we would be a church that is generous and kind and willing to share like you instruct the churches through the Apostle Paul. And Father, would we be a church that is able to see that financial poverty is not the thing that defines people. And often when people are going through these difficulties, they're also struggling with other difficulties in life that are a cause of their financial situation. And so would we be a church with eyes to see just deeper beyond surface level? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do the review of the definition that we're using for poverty in this class, at least. It is this: lacking a normal or adequate supply of something. And then I love that quote by Ruby Payne. By the way, I mentioned this book last week, which is A Framework for Understanding Poverty. It is now, I believe, available in the Pathways Center. I think Scott got probably 5 or 6 copies if you want to go check that out. The link to that resource is also on the webpage for this class, cco.church/Jesus Impact. So if you want to check that out. Like I said last week, it is not a book written from necessarily a biblical worldview, but more of a socioeconomic perspective, helping us to see how people in society face different pains and problems when it comes to the area of finances. This is the definition that Ruby Payne has. She says this: typically poverty is not thought of in financial resources, typically poverty is thought of in financial resources only. However, the reality is that financial resources, while extremely important, do not explain the reasons that many stay in poverty. The ability to leave poverty is more dependent upon other resources than it is upon financial resources. And then she gives a list of types of poverty in the book. Now, this is a review from last week, but I want to see who remembers what they are. I see some people already filling it in from their last week. I mean, cheaters in this room, I'm telling you. So when I read the definition after I finish, I'll say, what is it? And if you know the answer, you tell me, and then we'll fill it in together. First one is this: having the money to purchase goods and services. What is it? Financial. The next one is being able to choose and control emotional responses, particularly to negative situations, without engaging in self-destructive behavior. This is an internal resource and shows itself through stamina, perseverance, and choices. What is it? Emotional. Yes, there they are, the lovebirds. Okay, guys. You guys better not have been kissing in the hallway. That's all I'm saying. If you're listening to the stream, that is a married couple, happily married for a long time. Okay. 62 years. My God. Well, soon. When is soon? What month? March the 30th. 62 years. Congratulations. I don't see it. Hey, Jack, I got to say, brother, I know last time you ate a cookie, it went, you had to go to the hospital. But there's cookies over there if you want to risk it tonight, my friend, all right? Valentine's Day cookies, all right? Here's the story behind that. Jack did have a little health issue probably 2 months ago or a month ago or something like that. I went to visit him and he tells me he ate a cookie right before he went from somebody made it, who goes to Christchurch made it. And I made the joke that they probably slipped something in that cookie. Well, Jack tells that person that I made that joke and they find me at church and they come up, they give me the finger, said, no, I did not put something in that cookie. Oh man, I got in trouble. I learned my lesson. All right, we're moving on. I'm getting distracted already. Let's go. Here's the next one. Having the mental abilities and acquired skills, reading, writing, computing, to deal effectively with daily life. What is it? We have mental/cognitive are the descriptors used for that one. Mental/cognitive. The next one is this. Believing in divine purpose and guidance. What is it? Spiritual. This table right here is winning. Okay. Next one is having physical health and mobility. What is it? Physical. The next one is having friends, family, and backup resources available to access in times of need. These are external resources. What is it? Support systems. Next one is this, having frequent access to individuals who are appropriate, who are nurturing, and who do not engage in self-destructive behavior. What are those? Relationships and role models. Nice. Am I going too fast for your pens? Yeah, I could hear Trista over there. I mean, like, what is he doing? That last one was relationships and role models. And then the final one in the book, The Framework for Understanding Poverty, is this. Knowing the unspoken cues and habits of different groups. What is this? Knowledge of hidden rules. If you were not with us last week, we did an exercise through this. We read the story in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15 of the man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. And we just did a study of what types of poverty he might be facing. So if you're interested in doing that, John 5, 1 through 15. Well, we know that it's not just one situation. My fear from last week is that because we used the cardboard sign and did that exercise, that you may be thinking that poverty only exists for people who maybe are on a street corner or homeless. Or that's not the case. People who are maybe seemingly well off also go through financial difficulties and those sorts of things as well. And so I want you to have that on your mind as we talk through these next two ministries that we are a part of here at Christchurch, the Right Here, Right Now ministry, and also the ministry of Water Gardens. And we're going to start tonight with the ministry of Right Here, Right Now. It's a ministry that's an internal ministry of Christchurch, meaning it is just the people of Christchurch who put on this ministry and get to do it. So Allison Stump is here to talk to us. She leads the Right Here, Right Now ministry. And before she comes up, we're going to play an overview video of how this ministry works. And after that, we're going to have some questions for Allison. Here we go.
Right Here, Right Now exists to share the love and hope of Jesus by meeting financial needs of families in our local community. The process is simple, but the impact is significant. There are two ways to be involved with Right Here, Right Now, through giving and requesting. We ask every person that attends Christchurch to give $1 each week above their regular tithe for every member of their family. All $1 bills given and any money specifically earmarked will go toward Right Here, Right Now. We collect all of these dollars, add them up, and that's the amount of funds we have available to meet needs that week. We find out about these needs by asking each person that's a part of Christchurch to be mindful of those in their circle, their friends, their neighbors, co-workers, and family members, and let us know when a financial need arises. Requests can be submitted by filling out a form in the lobby or on our website. We collect all of the requests that come in throughout the week and submit them to a committee that prays over each request and makes decisions on how we can best help. Once your request is approved, you'll be able to personally deliver the gift and have a gospel conversation with that person, sharing the hope of Jesus with them in one of their most difficult times. Right Here, Right Now is so much more than dollar bills. It's a way for us as a church family to advance the gospel in our local community. $1 can't do much on its own, but together we can make a significant impact for the sake of the kingdom.
I want you guys welcome the one and only Allison Ruth Stump to the stage, but it's really not a stage. Yeah, middle name is Tyler. So everybody share your own middle name with the people at the table with you. Just kidding. You don't have to do that. My friends, this is Allison Stump. If you have not had the joy of meeting her, I'm excited to introduce you to her tonight. She leads our Right Here, Right Now ministry and has done so for probably close to 5 years now, and is a phenomenal teammate and a wonderful wife and a wonderful mother. And I'm really excited to Aiden, not to me or to our family, but... teammate to me, that did apply, but I get to work in the same hallway as her, on the same ministry team as her, and find it an absolute joy to get to do so. And I have a front row seat, because our offices are near one another, to see all of the conversations, or to hear really all of the conversations that she gets to have every week with people in our community, and sometimes in our church, but mostly through our community, who are going through financial difficulties or find themselves in poverty. And she has those conversations on behalf of our church, facing out toward our community, and works with a committee as well to help make some of those decisions on who we engage with and how we help support them in those ways. So she's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the Right Here, Right Now ministry, and also to the work of benevolence. And she actually got invited to speak in April at this event called True Charity, which is really cool. And I may go down there and support her, you know, bring like a fat head and like, you know, hold it up and say, exactly, absolutely. So Allison, I give you a little introduction, but why don't you tell them about your family and kind of how you're a part of Christ Church and those sorts of things.
Sure. I've been part of Christ Church for, I have to count, since 2007. So however long that's been, 17 years. It's been a long time. A lot of familiar faces in the room tonight. Anyway, I am married to Aiden. We've been married for 10 years now. We have a blended family. So we have 5 kids total, from age, I don't even know how old, 27 down to age 6. So we're crazy people. We like a challenge. And it's a lot of fun, actually. So I came on staff close to 5 years ago. Been working with Right Here, Right Now for that long. And I just really enjoy it. Have a lot of stories from it. Good, bad, weird, all the things in between. So
I'm only a part of some of the weird ones, but not all.
Most of the weird ones.
All right. So I'm excited to ask Allison some questions. And because we're doing 2 different panels tonight, I want to jump right into it. So Allison, they saw the video, but what elaboration would you give to the question, what is Right Here, Right Now, the ministry that we have here at Christ Church?
Yeah, Right Here, Right Now is a tangible way for us to love on people, to show them Jesus's love and care for them in a time where they're not expecting it, in a way that they're not expecting. It's very common for people to be surprised that we're going to help them. So that's really cool too. But what I love about Right Here, Right Now is just, it is a way to get to build relationships with people in the community that have never walked through the church doors before or have church hurt. All different kinds of scenarios are coming through that door. So.
And who is, so you've mentioned community, but who, when you say who is Right Here, Right Now intended to impact, like what are the, explain the tier system, because that's something that is maybe more internal than external, but I think letting them know about that is really appropriate.
Yeah. So Right Here, Right Now has 3 tiers, and that's not 3 tiers of, you know, first priority, second priority, third priority. It is tiers of how we know the people. So tier 1 is people in Christ Church that need help for themselves, or they're asking for help for someone else that attends Christ Church. So that relationship is pretty solid because it's involving all the people that are already embedded in Christ Church. The second tier is people within our church are reaching out on behalf of someone that they know. So someone in their sphere of influence, a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, a family member, someone like that, the person in our church is reaching out on behalf of someone that doesn't know us. So the relationship isn't as solid. It's tier 2, but there is a connection. Tier 3 are people within the community that are just looking for help in some way, shape, or form. A lot of times it's just cold calling the church, trying to see if they can get some sort of assistance. So we don't have a relationship with these people. We don't know who they are. But part of the process is they come in and meet with me, and I start building a relationship with them then. So the relationship is established, but it is the weakest of the relations, and that's tier three. So
for those in the room who maybe they find themselves needing financial assistance, or maybe they know somebody else in our church who is needing financial assistance, when somebody in our church submits a request right here, right now, what does that process usually look like as opposed to maybe a tier two or tier three?
Tier one and tier two look very similar. It's an online form and it's on the church website. So you just go in and request help for yourself or someone else that you know. So you would just fill out the information, but you would also be the requester. So you're stepping into a role that some people don't realize they're stepping into, and I have to explain that. But you're the go-between between right here, right now, and this person in need, because we don't have a relationship with them, but you do. So that's what a lot of people don't understand. So we don't do anonymous requests with right here, right now. We do require that the requester is the go-between, because they're the one with the relationship with that person. Tier three is completely different. That is whenever someone asks for assistance within the community and we have no connection to them at all, they're sent an application to apply for an appointment. And then after we collect the appointment applications for the week, we go through and we figure out which people we are going to offer appointments to. So I got to do that today with, I don't know, I think there were 13 different applications and I had three spots available. Some weeks I have, you know, just enough to fill the spots, but that's a rarity. Some weeks I have 35 and I only have three or four spots. So we're trying to be intentional with who we're giving appointments to.
Allison has done, I've been in the Impact Ministry for almost 3 years now, it'll be 3 years in May, and Allison has made, even in my 3 years here, and she had 2 years before that, has made really great, I think, wise improvements to the Right Here, Right Now program that help to serve people and people in our, and to serve our community really well. Allison, when you mentioned, you know, 35 requests, I mean, it is a lot. And Allison is also like one of the, I think she is the toughest and tenderest woman when it comes to like her, her ability to have a conversation and tell somebody they need to stop spending so much money on cigarettes, but also to care for them when they're crying in her office is like just so impeccable. It's amazing how she's able to do that. So she's, I just like cry in my office listening to her. I'm like, what do they do? I'm like, Dan, go get a job. You know, that's what Dan said last week. I was like, Dan.
No surprise.
Yeah, we roasted Dan for about every 10 minutes last week. Anyways, what was I saying? Okay, some of the requests. So you get like a lot of requests every week. So some people in our church or connected to our church or totally disconnected from our church, but they know that our church may be willing to help. What are the sorts of requests that have come in over your time? Are there common ones? Maybe like a crazy one? Maybe one that just like, yeah, this is maybe something simple that people might not think to request to, those sorts of things. What have you seen?
Sure. Let me think about that. The common ones are easy. Rent, rental assistance, a mortgage payment, utility bills, a hospital bill, like if there's a hospitalization or a surgery that's needed and they didn't have that in their budget, or it's a single parent or something where they just can't afford the extra out of pocket. Those are very common. I don't know about crazy ones, like crazy requests.
Crazy wasn't the right word. more so like, you know, like major traumatic, those sorts of things. So I'm thinking there's been some like fires.
Yeah. Like emergency.
Emergency situations. Yeah.
Yeah. So fires are, if there's a house fire, you know, helping with lodging or necessities after a fire is fairly common. Emergency situations like natural disasters. Interesting thing is that Maggie, whenever she started on staff, it was to establish Right Here, Right Now. And then the Joplin tornado happened like just a few months later. And then whenever Sherry left and I got offered this job, I hadn't started yet, and the Carl Junction tornado happened in between. So I was like, what do I do? And Maggie had to handle all those things. So natural disasters is another thing that we step into, and we step into that quick. So other things that people think are emergencies aren't necessarily emergencies. So we just have to take it with a grain of salt and figure out case by case basis how to handle it. So
I asked Allison that question, which was not on my list of questions. And I apologize for that, but you killed it. I asked that question because I want you guys to be able to see some of the situations that come through right here, right now, maybe on a regular basis or on a irregular basis, but there are just people in our community, and maybe they're facing ongoing or chronic in poverty, or some people just need help for this one thing, this one big thing, like a hospital bill popped up, and maybe they have a good budget and they're not in debt, but man, that bill for that kid's broken arm or something like that popped up. We want to be a church to help people when they need it. So right here, right now, a lot of people think finances or financial situations, but how does right here, right now impact people beyond the financial situation that they may find themselves in the financial gift that we offer?
So this is probably my favorite part of the job, is getting to understand the why behind things. So why are you in this situation? Like, let's talk about the story behind it. Because sometimes, excuse me, that will reveal like a root problem instead of, you know, yes, you need rent money, but the root problem is relational. Like, you don't have the support that you need to have the transportation to get a job or whatever it is. So just hearing the stories and talking through that with them usually reveals like, oh, you haven't processed a death in your family, you know, that is really impacting you. Or you've gone through this divorce and haven't handled all the emotions that come with that, you know, things like that, where we can point them towards resources, hopefully within the church, but at least within the community, that might help them more long-term.
And what, so say a tier two situation, which, by the way, pop quiz, tier two is somebody in our church requesting for somebody that they may know. When they step into that role as a requester, so say Michael Rayburn has a friend, and he requests right here, right now support, what should Michael be thinking beyond that financial gift? What should Michael be thinking about and how he might make an impact on this individual or this family?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. First thing you need to think about is, do I want to step into this situation with this person? Because if you don't, there's always another option. And that option is to send them to me to apply for an appointment. So just know that. Because some people don't request because they're uncomfortable stepping into that requester role. And I get it. Like, if you don't know the person that well, just send them to me. We'll talk it through. But if you know the person well, if it's someone that you know, and you feel comfortable stepping into that role, then I would say, what was your question? I started talking and I'm like, I don't know what I'm answering.
So case in point, like Michael is a friend or somebody he knows through work or community. And beyond that financial gift, how might he consider making an impact or be in the IA?
Yeah. So I think, honestly, it's just inviting the person into something. Whether that's inviting them into relationship with Christ, inviting them to church is a huge thing. Inviting them into something different than what they know is a really big thing.
Because this is something that even Allison has done a great job of recently on our team. She keeps calling it the kind of like a second level of care, because there is a care that we have for their financial situation. Like, if they're going through this this emergency event or something going on, we want to help them. Because, I mean, like we talked about last week, all throughout the pages of Scripture, God has a heart for the poor. He cares for the poor. He protects the poor. He commands his people to do the same. But there's also more to people than just their financial situation. Right. And so her second level of care that she's really started to spearhead and pioneer. Do you want to talk about that, especially when it comes to tier three?
Yeah. So tier three, like I was saying earlier, we don't have any relationship with them. So the only interaction that we get with them is through their application, through phone calls that we exchange, and through their in-person appointment with me. So we want to make that as impactful as possible. So the second layer of care that he's talking about is after they're done talking to me about their budget and all the hard things and the story behind their need and all the things, on their application, they have to check an area of interest on the application. And so I connect them with someone that is in that area of interest on our staff. So if they check counseling, I'll reach out to Cindy Cutler, be like, hey, do you have time to meet with this person? Because she has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to counseling and grief share and divorce care and all the things that are surrounding counseling that she can share with them. But what it does, it gives them a break from talking to the person that they're talking to finances. You know, they're talking about finances with me. There's a break there, and they can go with someone new to talk about this resource that could really help them in the long run and pray with this person. So it just makes them more receptive to things than if I'm giving that information in my office, because they're having really hard conversations and being really vulnerable with me about finances. They don't want to sit there and listen to me tell them what they need, like, relationally, but they'll listen to someone else on staff.
And one of the reasons that we have that second layer of care in place is because of the very thing that Ruby Payne is talking about in her book, A Framework for Understanding Poverty, is that a lot of people aren't in the financial situation they're in simply because of finances. A lot of it comes down to a lack of a support system or role models or spiritual poverty or physical poverty even. And the way in which that Allison has structured the ministry, not to just come in and talk about the financial situation, but to, I mean, Cindy Cutler has been, if you know Cindy, she is a warhorse when it comes to ministry. She just gets after it and does a great job. And she has had, when we started this in January, this new layer of care, she's already had most of those conversations. And was it Grief Share that somebody actually ended up doing something else? What was that?
Yeah. So two things have happened just in the past couple weeks. A lady signed up for Grief Share after talking to Cindy, who I had also suggested Grief Share to. But whenever Cindy talked to her, there was just something different there.
She's not getting away from Cindy.
She's not getting away from Cindy. Cindy's going to hunt her down. But also, the second guy was really closed off whenever he was talking to me. I think he was embarrassed to be in my office talking about finances. And I get it. He went and talked to Cindy, and she said he immediately shifted gears when she talked about Stephen's ministry because he was isolated. He's by himself. He doesn't have many friends. Doesn't know anyone in the church. And so she said it just, his demeanor changed whenever she mentioned that. So
I really love this new model that Allison has. It's a continuum of care almost to pastoral care. And it's really awesome. Dan Tony on our staff has been making a ton of follow-up calls to people who are come in for appointments who are on tier three. Remember, tier three is the people in our community who don't really have a connection to Christ Church. And so beyond just the financial gift, the goal is to connect them to this church, because this church, like we talked about last week, has a wealth of resources from community and spiritual and all those things. So I really appreciate what Allison does. Allison, what is something that you have learned through the work of benevolence just in your time? I'm curious when, because you've been doing it for even beyond your years in Right Here, Right Now ministry. And while you do Right Here, Right Now ministry, you do a lot of stuff outside of the Right Here, Right Now ministry. What are some of the things that you've learned about God or about people or even about yourself when it comes to this type of work in ministry?
Sure. Quite a few years ago, I helped with a trip through CIY to Seattle. And we worked with an organization that was embedded there trying to help the homeless population. So we went with all these students and sat in this park where there were a lot of homeless people. And the only assignment they gave us while we were there is just go talk to someone and get to know their story. So I sat down and talked to this girl who was very pregnant and on the streets with her boyfriend and just listened to her story. And it was so touching. And at the end of it, it was time for us to go. And she just said, "Thank you. Why did you come up and talk to me?" And I said, "Because I wanted to." And she was like, "No one ever does that here." So it was just, it opened my eyes to people just need to be seen and heard. And so anyone that comes into my office, I want them to be seen and heard. And there's one story. Can I share it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, they just all, when you said that, so I'm not going to be the one to say no.
So there was a gentleman at tier three who misunderstood the instructions for, we used to have a first call, first serve system with Right Here, Right Now with the tier three appointments. And so he thought he had to show up in person at 7 a.m. instead of making a phone call at 7 a.m. So he got up, showed up at the church at 7 a.m. We're not open at 7 a.m., but Jordan was here.
Oh, White.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan White was here and had already come into the office. And so this man was knocking on the door, and he went and answered the door. And this guy was really big, and he came in and said he needed to speak with me. And Jordan got on the phone with me, and I'm like, "Hello, you know?" And he said, "This guy's here for an appointment." And I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And the man got really upset because he had left. His wife was disabled. Like, he had made arrangements for her, came all the way out here from South Joplin, whatever it was. He was not a happy camper. So anyway, I just told him, like, "Hey, tell him that I will see him on Monday. I'll give him, you know, there's an appointment. I'll call him later and schedule the appointment." So I did. And he was very short on the phone. And I was like, "Oh, this is going to be a fun appointment," you know? And so Monday I show up and he's a big dude. And I went out to the office and just said, like, "Hey, I'm Allison, you know, and come on back." And he's like, "Mm-hmm." You know, like, he didn't even talk. So we get to my office, and after about 5 minutes, I could feel a change in him. He just felt mad at the world because he felt ignored. He felt siloed. He felt like he didn't matter. he did not feel like his life was worth a whole lot. And just sitting there and listening to him, his problems were so big, we couldn't even touch them if we wanted to. But we can show that we care. And so after we got done talking and I was walking him back out, he just said, "Thank you." I hadn't offered him anything at that point, you know? And I was like, "You're welcome." And I'm like, "Why are you thanking me?" And he said, "I just needed to do that." And so I was like, "Oh, he just needed to be heard." And so we helped with something very small, but he also, when he came back in to get the assistance a few days later, he just told the front desk person like how much this meant to him. And it was a $100 gift card. Like, it wasn't anything major. It wasn't a $5,000 check for anything. It was tiny, you know, but he was so appreciative of just being, felt like he mattered. So.
You were just telling me before class that your stories of going up and when you ask, what'd you say? If you ask somebody how they're doing or how's it going, you better really want to know how it's going. And so I really appreciate Allison's heart. And I think our church is in good hands with her leading the ministry right here, right now. And her ability to have kind and caring and tough conversations all at once is incredibly impressive. And I want you to know her and to know her face. Not necessarily to get her autograph because she's so awesome, but also to more so to have a resource for if you are going through a financial situation that the church can help you with, or if you know somebody who is, she's the lady that you can get connected with, and you can find her information on the website. And you Snapchat with the kids nowadays, or no? No Snapchat. So just email is best. But would you guys appreciate Allison and say thank you to her for her time up here tonight? Allison will, hey, Allison, I did not ask for questions, but one came. She goes, are you going to let them ask questions? I was like, probably not. But I said, if somebody raises their hand, and I did not think anybody would, but there's Andrew. Andrew, what's up?
So we do the second layer of care with the tier threes. With the tier two, so I guess there is a second layer of care built into the tier one and twos that we just haven't verbalized. But a lot of times whenever someone requests help for someone else, I'm talking to them directly. So any resources I have or any information the committee has to give to that person, like, I'm giving it to the requester. So I'm just not coordinating a meeting between the person in need and someone that can help them. But that information is given to the requester. So that's a good point.
Yeah, we can always get information, yeah. Oh, I mean, you got two questions.
So we do both things. Sometimes we pay the bill online. It just depends on the situation. And sometimes we have them come pick up a check, but we never give anyone money directly. So if we give them a check, it's made out to their landlord after they provide documentation, or to the electric company after they provide documentation. So there's safeguards in there too. But the reason that we have them come pick up a check and don't just mail it is just to have another touch with them, so that we can see them face to face and talk to them again. So we do it both ways. It just depends on the situation. Oh yeah, we have safeguards in place. So this isn't just, me listening to them in my office. We have Charity Tracker, and what that is, it's a database in the Joplin area for churches and nonprofits that are trying to help people to keep track of who's helping who, when, and with what. So I go in with every tier three that we don't know and look in Charity Tracker. Charity Tracker will tell me if the person's had monetary assistance or they've just had assistance for food or clothing. And food or clothing, like, we're not going to hold that against, you know what I mean? But if it's monetary, then I just look and see, when was the help? How often is this repeated? That type of thing. So what Charity Tracker does, it tells us the difference between crisis and chronic. So we want to help in crisis situations. I want to enable chronic situations.
All right. Any other questions? Those are great, great questions and inquiries from, I mean, this is four questions already. All right.
That is a good question. So, like I said, it used to be a first call, first serve system for years. But what I noticed, especially after COVID, it turned into a rat race. Whenever we opened the phones, I had sometimes 12 calls within the first minute. And then how do you tell someone, you know, sorry, we don't have an appointment to offer you because you were 4 seconds too late, you know, calling. So we were trying to be more intentional. So we created an application for an appointment. And what that does is they have to follow instructions first. They have to give us a synopsis as to what's going on and tell us a dollar amount that they need. So what that does, and they also tell us how they found out about our program and if they're connected to anyone. So that's another thing that we look at. But I look at, have they had past help? Because if so, they're probably going to get a no if there's too many appointments, depending on the situation. If they're asking for something that we don't help with. So right here, right now, it doesn't help with a few things. We don't help with higher education expenses because there's plenty of resources for that. We don't help with lawyer fees because it's too sticky, especially in divorce situations or custody situations. It's just not a good thing to get involved in. I think there's another one, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. So we look at those things too. Like, I look in Charity Tracker. Is this a chronic situation? Is this a crisis situation? So there's a lot of ways to do that. And after that, I just pray. Like, I told Maggie, I just need to draw numbers out of a hat at some point, you know, because sometimes it's the first couple weeks we did the application, it just weighed heavy on my heart. Like, I feel like I'm telling someone their need is less important than someone else's, but realistically, we can't help everyone. So we just do what we can and go on. And we always give them the hope of they're welcome to reapply at any point. So they are always welcome to apply. It doesn't mean they're going to get an appointment, but they're always welcome to apply. So we try to leave them with that.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about that. This is a little bit different situation for sure. But I remember when I first came in, Vanna, to the missions, every week I was getting a request for financial support from somebody wanting to do a mission. And it became overwhelming. And I only got one a week. She gets like 15 a week or something like that. And I remember talking to Darren King, who's one of the elders here at Christ Church, and just expressing this overwhelming, almost fatigue of just like, this is a lot. And, you know, because you want to support everybody who's doing seemingly good work, or you want to help people who are going through situations. And he said a very simple line to comfort me in that. And he just said, God cares a lot more than you do about them. And so while we may not be able to solve everything or help everyone, they are in good hands with God's hands, you know. And I really appreciate that about Alan. Yeah.
Their story is not going to end with a yes or no from us.
Yeah. So. That's a good line.
Yeah.
You can tweet that.
I will Snapchat it.
No. Yeah, you will. Hey, would you guys thank Allison? If you do have more questions, she's going to be back at the table, the doors at the end of the class. And I know I just said we appreciate Allison, like before you started clapping, I kept talking. So would you guys thank Allison real quick for her work and ministry and sharing tonight? Thank you, Allison. Steve and Keely, you guys can start making your way up here. I'm going to go ahead and play this next video. This is a video from Water Gardens Ministries, which Steve and Keely are going to represent tonight. Here we go, Water Gardens.
Isaiah chapter 58. In this particular passage, God is chastising his people through the prophet because they're simply going through religious motions instead of sincerely seeking his heart with a willingness to obey. Fasting as a form of self-denial fell short of God's intent for his people to care for others. Beginning in verse 6, he says, "Is this not the fast I choose, that you divide your bread with the hungry, shelter the homeless poor, and clothe the naked?" Today, God is still calling his people to action that stems from real compassion. The call hasn't changed, and the promises haven't either. In verse 11, Isaiah conveys God's promise of a flourishing life when we help the poor. You'll be like a watered garden and like a spring whose waters never fail. Most of us have experienced this. It feels really good to give. But how can we do that without worsening the entitlement mentality we see too often among the poor in our cities? How can we care for people in need without trapping them in dependency? What is the key to empowerment? At Water Gardens Ministries, we believe it starts with viewing each person as a unique contributor with ability and capacity, more than just a head counted as a number with a need. From the moment we greet someone who steps into our outreach center for food or shelter or some other basic need, we recognize the brokenness and the injustice, but we also look beyond that to the person God made in His image. Acting on that vision of the person as contributor, we provide an opportunity for anything in our ministry to be earned in our worth shop. Work doesn't only awaken worth, but it starts a person down that path of experiencing the joy of earned success. That path may be at our Washington Family Hope Center, where we help moms with children regain their footing, begin to dream about a better future, and then develop a plan to reach it. Or it may be through our Center for Virtue and Work, Forge, a long-term program for men focused on character development and work readiness, with a goal to graduate Christians who are employed, independent, and active in their local church. Empowerment begins with having the proper perspective of the human person. But for the work of empowerment to be successful, we believe it must be done from private, voluntary means. This is why Watered Gardens Ministries has never taken a government dollar. We also believe ongoing success is dependent on our diligence to measure impact. Without measuring outcomes, success is merely conjecture. We are successful, and we want you to be a part of it. And the more you are, the more successful we'll be. Will you read again Isaiah 58? And when you do, I hope you too will hear the call of God on your own life to give and serve out of compassion and in a way that's both relational and responsible. There's someone out there right now who's only known the receiving end of another's charity. Let's empower him instead.
I got choked up there almost. I don't know why. If you guys have not had the joy of meeting my friends, Steve Hauser and Keely Johnson, I would like to introduce them to you. This gentleman over here, the Silver Fox, right, is the Arctic, more Arctic than silver at this point. You know what I'm saying? is a guy that I have had the joy of knowing since I was in student ministry here at Christ Church, and we did a lot of trips together. Actually got a trip this weekend together, and looking forward to that. Steve has one of the biggest hearts in the world, I think, and I already bet $10 tonight that he's going to cry, so don't make me lose it, Steve, all right? you're going to lose it. Steve has a heart full of compassion and love, and a true leader in our church when it comes to the outreach ministries that we have, both local and international. And then this young lady right here is Keely Johnson. Keely is maybe one of the sweetest people I've ever met. Behind all that sweetness is also a toughness to her as well. And Keely actually interned with Allison and Maggie and I on the Impact team, more so with Allison and Maggie because she didn't want to hang out with me, but it's okay. She actually led some of those right here, right now, appointments that Allison was talking about during her internship. She went on one of the trips during her internship, or right after your internship, and did a lot of stuff with Maggie and local ministries here. And so would you tell both of you, would you guys share kind of why I would have invited you guys to talk about Water Garden? What's your involvement with that ministry?
All right. So I grew up in Joplin, and I have volunteered at Water Gardens for many years doing random serving meals and everything. But here recently, I started working at Washington Family Hope Center, which is a house for moms and their children. I've been there for a little over a month now, so I'm still new and getting to know everyone, but it's been a really cool adventure.
This is also really wild for me because when I was a youth minister, Keely was in the youth group, which is pretty crazy. And now one of my former students is working at one of our Impact partners, which is crazy. Means I'm getting old. So, Steve, why have I invited you, my friend? What's your involvement with Water Gardens?
You have to hold this on your chin. Is that what I mean?
Yeah, it's got to be at least close to the mouth. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good enough. I started volunteering down at Water Gardens when my daughter...
You don't need a microphone. You just don't put the microphone down.
Good. When my daughter was like in eighth grade, because Chad Monahan started taking the youth group down there. And so, you know, I didn't really ever know much about it, so I started going down there. And then through that, I mean, I've always had a heart for the homeless. I would always wanted to do something. You know, there was just something about it. And then just through that, I just kept, you know, I just, after my daughter graduated high school, I just kept going back with the high schoolers or whatever, and just always serving down there. So that's how I got started.
How? What else are you involved in? Keeley works at the Washington Family Hope Center. How are you involved right now?
Well, I serve on the board.
Just give Keeley the microphone, Steve. And, it's causing some static, and you're loud enough.
I serve on the board. I do an RA, which is I stay at the outreach center once a month. Help with the Forge program. I just, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. The amount of times I've heard Steve say that when he goes to serve and then he's the one who's been shaped or transformed by that service is, I mean, he says it every time. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Keeley, maybe you work there, you're on the board, Steve. So when he in the video or on their website says that Water Gardens exist to serve the local church and its mission to help the poor in Jesus' name, this is not an internal ministry of Christ Church, like right here, right now is. This is an impact partner of ours, but their stated mission is to serve the local church and its mission. What does Water Gardens mean by that, and how do they invite the church into this?
Okay, well, when somebody would say, I always say that garden is a conduit to be able to reach the poor. Because like I said, we all have interaction. See them all the time. Buying a sign. I mean, you see it all the time. Anyway, so it gives you an opportunity to come into an environment where you can not only just interact with that person on a one time, maybe served there, because once you start at different places, I mean, then you become in part of it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so that's
great, yeah.
Yeah, so we also call our volunteers host, like CCO does. We have hosts come in every day, really. And a lot of our dinner crews at Washington Family Hope Center is actually small groups from churches coming to serve, or an actual pastor from a church coming to serve. And so we're just creating a space for the church to come into our place and be the church for those people.
When I was in student ministry still does this, actually. We serve a breakfast one Sunday a month at Water Gardens, and I know that quite a few of you in the room I've actually seen there helping serve there. This is like my second Sunday as a student minister at Christ Church. Adam Everett wanted me to go down to Water Gardens and kind of see what it was like, and I walk in there by myself, and I see the kitchen, and there's this guy, at the time a silver fox, in there barking orders. He doesn't need a microphone anywhere he goes, and he's in there barking orders in the kitchen, and I thought he was a resident at Water Gardens, to be honest with you, at first. And I wasn't sure what he was just yelling at people and, how to make eggs and all that stuff. And it was Steve. And I'm really glad that our student ministry still does that and goes there every month to serve and to put on the worship service there at Water Gardens. And they have local churches come in all the time. So I really do appreciate Water Gardens' approach to allowing the church to play a part. It's not just something they ask churches to say, hey, could you send us some money? Could you help us fund this project? It's a, hey, would you be a part of what we're doing here in our community to serve the homeless and and to help the poor. So I want you guys to talk about the ministries at Water Gardens. This is a multifaceted ministry at Water Gardens. What are you specifically involved in? So you are Washington Family Hope Center. You're involved in the Forge ministry. What are those ministries and what demographic do they serve within the community of Water Gardens? And maybe share some stories that you've seen in your time there.
All right, so Washington Family Hope Center is a house for homeless moms and their kids. These moms have to have at least partial custody of their kids. It's a way that we get to serve families and try to keep them together and not go into the foster care system, to be honest. These moms, right now we have 7. We have the potential to add 8 or 9 more moms and kids. And this is a place for them to come in, feel safe, for one. Some of these moms have to get away from whatever situation they're in. And so they get to feel safe here. And we help them with parenting classes if they need it, counseling if they need it. We always do a wellness wheel is what we call it. And we just like check in on them, see how they're doing when they first come in. And then throughout their time with us, they get an updated one. So if they have any mental health issues that we need to address, we can. They have financial classes and care coordination that helps them start a resume, do job applications, all the things to get back on their feet. And while they're with us, they save 75% of everything they make when they come in. They don't have to buy new clothes or buy diapers for their kids or anything like that. We provide everything for them so that they can start getting back on their feet. Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted, a reason I liked what Keely shared there is when it comes back to those different types of poverty, a lot of the moms and their families are facing a lot of different types of things. I mean, we know that children, especially single women with children or people who have been abandoned maybe by a provider, whether it was a husband or a father or a boyfriend or something like that, they really come into a situation of vulnerability, and Water Gardens Washington Family Hope Center provides a stable place where they can, I mean, something like we talk about, like what's an example, knowledge of hidden rules. When it comes to learning how to parent and growing in that, that's would be an example of, I don't know how to parent and I don't have somebody showing me an example of it maybe. Washington Family Hope Center provides that, or they provide the physical safety that is needed for a healthy environment to grow up in. They provide a support system where they have different people, even different moms that they can connect with and have a good space. I mean, when it... When you're a single parent, I've never been a single parent, but I hear this from a lot of people. It's hard when you're working by yourself and your kids are in daycare and you go home and you're providing for them at night. This is an opportunity for some of those moms to be able to connect with other women who are going through a similar season of life. And really cool how it's a multifaceted approach to a holistic ministry, and appreciate that. So that's for the women and children that are a part of Washington Family Hope Center, at least some of them. Steve is involved in maybe the men's side of that. Steve, why don't you tell them about Forged?
Thanks again for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. We hope that this teaching is helping you discover completeness in Jesus and encourages you to help others do the same. If you're interested in learning more about Christ Church, visit us online at cco.church.